Now on ABC North Queensland, we love local stories, of course. So here's a local story for you. A girl named Santha Lathigan has stumbled across an ancient rusted key in the forest, and Santha uncovers the truth of this key's powers and is thrust into a world of fairies and princes and eldritch magic. Now, I said this is a local story. It's not necessarily set in Townsville. It's in the fantastical world of Serratora, and it comes from the mind of Townsville's own Benjamin J. Ryan, who is launching his first novel, Beckoning of the Gate, this weekend. Benjamin, welcome to ABC Mornings.
Good morning,
man. Now, I'm sorry if I butchered all the pronunciation in that introduction there. Was I close on some of the words?
No, you're pretty good. I'm very impressed.
Oh, great. Okay, there you go. So, mate, you're a full-time physiotherapist during the day, and you spent the nights writing this first fantasy novel of yours. How do you manage that?
With a bit of a struggle, to be honest. I actually started the book way, way back when I was 15 years old, so at Ignatius Park College. So something that's turned out to, like, was just going to be a short story. Your practical sort of good versus evil and dark and light, and it just got bigger and bigger. But I did sort of realize after a while that I couldn't just keep writing it because I had to study. I went straight from high school to university and then straight out to physiotherapy as my job. So the only way I could really manage it was on Sunday, Saturdays, like Friday nights. Yeah, just sort of times that I could set aside, I guess, and do a little bit of my own sort of writing then.
So you started writing it at 15 years old. At that point, did you have any idea where it was going to go and that it could grow into a full-length novel? Or did you just think, oh, this is a bit of fun?
It was a bit of fun. So there's a certain sort of saying amongst writers, and in Townsville in particular, I'd say there's pantsers and there's plotters. So so someone that is a plotter, obviously, they go about their story and they write everything up first. They create profiles for their characters. They create a timeline and sometimes even do chapter summaries. At that point in time, I had neither maturity nor the inclination to work that hard. So I was a pantser. So a pantser themselves, they write by the seat of their pants.
Right.
And it's whatever story or thoughts come into mind, then you just keep going. You have no idea where it's going. You're just along for the ride. So you can imagine that would have been fun at that stage, but probably a bit of a nightmare later on in life when I was actually trying to turn it into a coherent story.
And has the story changed a lot from what it was when you were 15?
I think so. I think the crux of it's definitely there. I've actually wrote it and rewrote it probably four times, probably over the course of 10 to 15 years. And as you mature, I guess that your writing style changes too. Mm. And you look back on stuff and you go, oh, did I really write that? That's pretty awful, yeah. I guess. But at the same time, it's just like your own sort of tastes. They change over time as well. It's definitely changed, and it's become a much better story for it, and I've learned a lot along the way, yeah.
Without any spoilers, of course, are you able to give us a quick peek into that story?
Yeah, well, I guess giving you a very short bit of background first is that the story itself is really quite influenced by folklore, particularly your Irish, Gaelic, and Celtic folklores. And the thing about those folklores and those fairy tales, they're not your modern fairy tales. They're very dark.
This is not the Disney versions.
Definitely not the Disney versions. So the overall idea is that they were there to teach a lesson, normally for children that were naughty and that would be taken away, kind of like the boogeyman. Mm. So in the sense then is that these stories don't always have happy endings. And so the story itself is probably your dark fairy tale. It basically follows a young woman called Santha, and she uncovers this ancient-looking key near her home in this forest, and when she touches it, it wakens at a touch, so it wakes up, and it starts to basically push her in a certain direction. She realizes then that she has to leave her home and has to uncover its secrets, and in so doing, she sort of is thrust into a world that is full of things that she never thought existed, and things that she's probably only ever glimpsed in her childhood sort of stories as well. Yeah.
Well, I'm hooked, and it sounds like we're definitely going to all have to grab a copy and find out what happens on this journey. So you're working as a physiotherapist during the day, and you get home from work. How quickly would you start writing? Is it have a bit of dinner and then jump into it, or I'm curious about the schedule.
The process itself is a little bit different depending, but because I would have set Fridays aside for myself, so... apart from going to my usual schedule, do a little bit of exercise or gym or something like that, come home. Most of my creativity would have come at nighttime. So I actually probably wouldn't have started until maybe 8 or 9 o'clock at night. After I've settled a little bit, had something to eat and was a bit more relaxed. The writing itself could actually go from 9 p.m. till maybe for an hour or even only 30 minutes, depending on how inspirational I was feeling. But sometimes it would take me through to 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I would just go with the flow a fair bit. But I at that stage, and for the last maybe 10 years or so, I haven't been as disciplined as I probably should be. So trying to keep a regular schedule is quite challenging. I just wish I was more consistent, because I've had a bit of a chat with a few other authors around, and they've just said consistency is key. Now everything that's changed with regards to the first book, and now that it's published and ready to go, I tend to be a one person or a one project kind of person. And when that project finishes, I start to get inundated by more ideas. So once I did finish the first draft of that first book, I started coming up with a sequel, and that's where the threads came from, because there's multiple threads and therefore multiple lives and therefore multiple stories to be told.
And that sequel's already being written?
I've started, yes.
Wow, there you go, before the first one's even launched. Yeah. Benjamin J. Ryan is the author of Beckoning of the Gate. Now, you're from Townsville. Has your home city influenced the writing or the characters in any way?
I would say in a sense, yes, because I think there's characterizations and little relationships that you have with people more so than anything else. And stories these days, they tend to be more about character development and interactions than anything else. You can have very mundane or very simple sort of plots overall, but if they haven't got good characters and good dialogue, then it's not much it's going to happen from there. So I've definitely used that, and there were certain, especially in the beginning, certain aspects about the main character, the protagonist Santha and her mother, which I based on a lot of interactions with my own mother. So it definitely helped. So from that aspect, definitely. And there's little bits and bobs there. Yeah, absolutely.
They're not going to go, we have to voyage up Castle Hill and
no,
a battle at the Strand. It's not not obvious.
No, not quite, because there's a lot of different sort of genres within, or subgenres within, fantasy these days, and it's not just fantasy. So you've got your high fantasies where it creates a new world, kind of like George R. R. Martin or Tolkien, for instance. You've got your contemporary or realism sort of fantasy set in our world. You've got epic fantasies, which basically follow multiple characters, and then they go on epic sort of journeys, or there's normally battles ensuing, and there's politics involved as well. So mine probably looks a little bit at that that high fantasy in that new sort of world, and dark fantasy because of the fairy tales and the true representation of them. The world itself is completely made up, but definitely has influences from around the world, actually, and the cultures there too.
And being an author is about so much more than just writing the story. It's also getting it out and getting it published. How have you found the experience of actually sharing this book with the world?
Actually daunting, to be honest. I think that's probably the word for it. I didn't really know what the experience entailed. I was happy just to do something quite small. But after chatting with my publisher, and then also going through with some friends who are actually quite knowledgeable about media sort of outlets and getting it marketed, and then also just launching itself, it got bigger and bigger, and then I realized how much was required to actually get your name out there.
And is that choosing the cover, choosing the font, making sure it can get printed? Like, is it just lots and lots of logistics?
Yes, absolutely. And if whoever sort of looks at the cover as well, there was a lot of thought and process that went into that, for instance, too. Something as simple as character placement, if they're in the foreground, background, or mid-ground, for instance, there was a lot of discussion. And an artist all the way over in Paris, we were discussing via email. And he's the digital artist. His name's Nino Iz, and he's brilliant. So he was able to help bring that to life. And the process itself was fun, but it was definitely with sort of the marketing in the mind. And the thing, the sort of cover I would be really keen to pick up at a bookstore. So definitely marketability was there.
And there's sort of, I suppose, been this democratization of content, in that so many people can, it's very easy with anyone to just upload blogs or podcasts or whatever it is. When there's so much content out there, are you optimistic about the future of reading the physical book?
I think that because stuff can be, like, you can send an ebook. I'm already available all over the world, and it's kind of an odd and surreal sort of realization, I guess, overall. I think that in the end, physical books, there's just something about them, having them in your hand, and it doesn't feel as good to have an ebook. I definitely see the convention and the actual interface and everything is actually really convenient. You can store thousands of books on a Kindle or some sort of ebook reader. You can actually make little notes on them too. And you can, if you don't know a word, you can hold down, hold it over the cursor over it, and it'll bring up the meaning or definition via a dictionary that's stored inside of it. So really, really handy.
Yeah.
But there is something about having a book, having something you can put in your collection and you can grow on your own bookshelf at home.
Mm.
Yeah. So.
And Benjamin J. Ryan, your first novel, Beckoning of the Gate. If it were to become a movie, do you have any ideas in your head of who you'd be casting in those main roles?
I guess I hadn't really thought about casting as such, but my thoughts were definitely probably more around, like, placement, areas that I would actually go about recording, I guess, and
Same way that Peter Jackson chose New Zealand for Lord of the Rings, you have landscapes in mind?
Yeah, landscapes, because the influences of the book. Because a lot of fantasy writers, they tend to draw from the real world. And so I did the same sort of thing. So there's cultural sort of things. The main land in the book is based upon your traditional sort of English and Irish sort of backgrounds. You got the Northerners, which are your Scottish and Scandinavians. And then the South, it's kind of your Indian and Sri Lankan sort of, and Buddhism and that sort of stuff too. So those sort of places sort of stick in my mind when I'm going through and trying to create a scene as well. So the research and that sort of stuff, and I've seen some really interesting and pretty awesome sort of places from around the world, which, you know, a lot of stuff's green screen these days, but to shoot on location, yeah, I've been thinking about it, and soundtracks and that sort of stuff too. But when it comes to casts,
I mean, we'll just chuck a Hemsworth in there and we'll be
fine. Yeah,
that
sure.
That usually works out pretty well.
Yes.
Well, Benjamin J. Ryan, congratulations on your first novel, Beckoning of the Gate. It will officially launch tomorrow at an event at the Drill Hall Studio in North Ward. Can anyone come down to that one?
Yes, pretty much anyone can come. We are going to be opening at about 3 p.m. at the Drill Hall Studio. We'll go to about 5 p.m., but it'll just depend on numbers overall. The main thing will be just when you're coming in is just signing in using the Queensland COVID app. But other than that, there'll be people to mingle with. There'll be some speeches by myself. And hopefully a couple of readings and signings too.
Benjamin J. Ryan, thanks so much for your time on ABC Mornings.
Oh, thank you for having me.